cold as it is, I'm reminded of the Eskimos sitting under the missionary. They said, "Tell us again about the eternal flame." We've been talking about iron sharpening iron. And I'm the last speaker. The last knife in the drawer that you want to use is always the dullest one. So, but I do want to do some sharpening today. I want to do some sharpening, and it might hurt. When you start working with knives and you get to slicing, some things can get cut off. But isn't that the idea? I want to cut something off today. The topic that was given to me is life in the Spirit. And the teaching team gets together and goes over material and often decides what to teach, listening to the Lord and trying to decide who's going to take what topic. And last August or so, when we began this process, we walked in the room and a list of topics were there, and I had no say in the matter. The sheet was handed to me. Bob Gray said, "This is your topic. Bob, I want you to come up here a minute." This is totally and completely unrehearsed, and he has no knowledge that I was going to have him do this. But why did you do that?
I've heard him preach.
Is that all?
And he's the pastor of a Pentecostal church, so I figure he ought to know about the Spirit.
Okay. Let me say this. Listen to me very carefully. Because when you get to working with knives, if you're not careful, you can hurt yourself. Accidents can easily happen. I don't want any accidents to happen today. I don't want anybody to be hurt today. But we will never live in the Spirit if we do not live in unity. If we're not living in unity, it's a sure sign that we're not living in the Spirit. Bob Gray said, "He asked me to do this because I'm a Pentecostal pastor of Pentecostal church." And that's true. There are times when John Tice, very good friend of mine, so I'm walking today. Where's John? John? Right over here. John's a good friend of mine. There are times when John Tice has talked with me and has said something, asked questions about the tongues issue, or sometimes comments are made about me and Bob, you hear from the Lord, you get a word from the Lord, or a word of prophecy, as if people of my theological persuasion have a more direct line to God than you do. Let me ask a question here. I want you to answer this. I don't want you to sit there with your hands on your lap if you need to respond to this. But I want you to raise your hand to this if this is true. If you'd say, "I have never been in a Pentecostal church service or a Pentecostal church before, I've never been in one," raise your hand. So about half the room, at least, maybe a few more, have never been in a Pentecostal. Now, this message is not about Pentecost, okay? So don't get scared. Raise your hands again. Never been in a Pentecostal church, Pentecostal church service. Keep your hands up. I'm gonna ask people who I don't even know who they are. I don't know who you are.
Mike.
How would you define the word Pentecostal?
I would have no idea.
All right. Somebody else, raise your hand. That's okay. I'm glad you said it. Who else? Raise your hand. Never been to Pentecostal church before. Don't know. Over here. How would you define Pentecost or Pentecostal?
Well, I have a preconceived notion that it's sort of fire and brimstone coming down from heaven, but I know that's not right.
Okay. One more, because Stan took 2 minutes of my time. One more that raised your hand before. Give me a response. I'm trying to avoid the squealing of the speakers here. Somebody else?
Holy Rollers.
Okay. Listen, the reason I'm doing this, let me ask this question too. How many get a little nervous just thinking about the possibility of attending a Pentecostal church service. Be honest. Be honest. All right. Now I'm gonna say one of those things with the iron sharpening iron knife. And I want you to listen to me after I say this for the rest of this time, because especially those who are Pentecostal and especially those who go to my church. Listen to what I say after this statement, or else you'll get really mad at me for making this statement, okay? I do not want to be identified as a Pentecostal. I don't. There are many people who call themselves Pentecostals who believe things very differently from what I believe. Very differently. My kids have gone to college. One of my children is going to a Wesleyan college. One of my children is going to a Baptist college. Everyone, every student they have spoken to has a misconception about what we believe. Every other student they have talked to thinks that we believe something that we do not believe. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to try to straighten you out. That's not the point of this message today. But they think we teach something we don't teach. And I just took a few minutes here, but I could line 50 people up across the front of this room and ask for definitions of Pentecostal and probably get 50 different definitions. And I believe some of my friends who make comments about our beliefs themselves have misconceived notions about our beliefs and practices. Now, I'm not offended. I don't have a chip on my shoulder. Again, this is just getting started. Here's the shocking thing. Here's the shocking thing. We're not that much different than you are. Did you hear me? We're not that much different than you are. The tongues issue. I have great friends in a variety of denominations. Many of those denominations don't preach or teach anything about praying in an unlearned language, yet it is a blessing that they've experienced and enjoy anyway on a regular basis. Many years ago, there was a strong belief in the church at large that all the gifts had ceased, and some still believe that today, and if you believe that, that's fine. But what is happening in general in the church today, and what is happening in Kokomo today, is an incredible sense of unity. And there's a unity coming about in the belief that God really can do whatever He wants to do, however He wants to do it. He's only bound by His Word. And there are people whose churches have historically not taught anything about many spiritual gifts other than that they teach that they have ceased. Yet those people are saying God can do whatever He wants to do, and spiritual gifts are popping up in unusual places. Jerry Van Auken spoke 2 weeks ago. Jerry Van Auken's a good friend of mine. I consider him to be a great friend of mine. Hold him in high regard and confidence. Jerry Van Auken is not my Presbyterian friend. He's not my Presbyterian pastor token friend. Jerry pastors First Presbyterian Church. Now again, listen to me carefully or else you're going to get cut by the knife. Jerry pastors First Presbyterian Church. Many people in this room attend First Presbyterian Church. I regularly tell my church, the First Presbyterian Church is a great church in Kokomo. Yet, First Presbyterian Church has gone through a long and painful process of changing which Presbyterian church they are affiliated with, because there are some Presbyterians who believe some very different things. Which leads me to say, we cannot have unity at the expense of truth. Can't have unity, Christian unity, true Christian unity in the Spirit at the expense of truth. Let me ask, I don't see Pastor Paul Martin here today. He's usually right here in the front. He's not here. So I was going to call him out, but also Jim Butcher. My friend Paul Martin and Jim Butcher. What do you think of the Westboro Baptist Church? My Baptist friend. The Westboro Baptist Church, who carries signs at military funerals that say, God hates fags and brings even more grief to those who have lost their children on the battlefield. How do you like that connection, that title, terminology, when you're a Baptist? So someone can say, well, I'm a Pentecostal and you're a Pentecostal, he's a Pentecostal. And that can mean 100 different things. If we don't know what we're saying or what the other person, what the other person's definition is, then we can get very confused. Someone can say, I'm a Baptist, you're a Baptist, he's a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, you're a Presbyterian, he's a Presbyterian. So can I say this today without being mistaken? Don't refer to me as a Pentecostal. I no longer refer to myself as a Pentecostal. It conjures up many mistaken images in people's minds. I am not ashamed of what I believe. I am not ashamed of what I practice. That has not changed. But too many people are confused, and that leads to disunity. And even more so, please don't call me a charismatic. Robert Tilton, I am not. If you want to refer to me as something, why don't you refer to me as Catholic? Because the word Catholic means universal, and I'm part of the universal church. Or you can refer to me as a Lutheran because I think Luther was great. Or you can refer to me as a Wesleyan because John Wesley is one of the greatest contributors to the knowledge and life of the church. Or you could refer to me as a Quaker because I've done some shaking and quaking in my day. Or you could refer to me as a Presbyterian because our church has a presbytery. Or you could refer to me as a Methodist because I have a method about what I do. Or you could refer to me as a Baptist because I've been baptized and our church practices baptism. Or I'm a Nazarene because I follow the Nazarene. But more than anything else, I'm a Jew. Call me a Jew. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says, you're not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you've gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. So, if you really want to label me, why don't you call me a Jew? That's what the Apostle Paul said I was. Or maybe an even better idea. Why don't we just drop all the labels? Why don't we just refer to each other as people who follow Christ? I know there are purposes in denominations. And I'm not one that says, let's get rid of all the denominations. I believe there are good reasons why God raised up different movements at different times in history to bring purity and focus and fresh perspective on his teaching to the church and to the world. But because I identify and worship on a certain day of a week with a certain denomination does not make me more of that thing than the fact that I'm a follower of Christ along with all the others who follow Christ and go to a different building with a different name on the same day of the week. This is why I have tried to change the identity of our church in the last 7 years to New Life Church, not New Life Assembly of God. Because the fact that we are a part of the church is more important to us than the fact that we are part of the Assemblies of God. What am I today because I'm here? Am I a Huddleite? Hey Joe, have you heard about those Huddleites? Have you heard about what they believe? They believe in Huddleism. What are they doing? How do they worship? Yeah, Bob, I've heard about those Huddleites. I am one. I'm a Huddleite. I don't know about you. That sounds kind of stupid to me. One of our favorite speakers here is Kevin Butcher. And Kevin Butcher and Deacon Joe Hurd came to speak to us about race relationships in the church. I challenge you. Go to the Huddle website, listen to their message, and just replace the word racism with denominationalism. With everything that they said. Kevin said, we're going to be talking about some pretty tough stuff because we've been doing it. We've not been doing it. And he read from John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer for us all to be one. Deacon Joe said, in Christ, God created one new man, not a black, white, or a Korean man. I would say he didn't create a Pentecostal or a Baptist or a Presbyterian man. Kevin said, I felt the racism even before I knew what the word meant. Listen, I was taught denominationalism and felt denominationalism before I knew what the word meant. Kevin said, I can't live the way I've been living anymore. And he applied that to racial issues. Can we apply that to denominational differences? Deacon Joe talked of leaving a black church for an interracial church. And his wife said, that's a nice church, but that music is something I'm going to have to get used to. Is that not true of various denominational traditions as well? Are we going to be one or not? Are we going to continue to label one another and emphasize our differences, or are we going to come together? Kevin talked about how difficult it is to unpack racial issues. How many hundreds of years back racial issues go? Well, how many hundreds of years back do denominational issues go? He talked about people who have died and been murdered and killed because of racial differences. Did you know that Catholics killed Lutherans? But Lutherans kept infant baptism. And so in another movement after the Lutherans, when the Reformation really got steamrolled, and other groups of people came along and said, well, we're not supposed to baptize infants, we're now supposed to baptize adults, and we're supposed to do it by immersion. And those same Lutherans who had been persecuted and killed by the Catholics, they now began to persecute and kill those people, and they said, you want to be baptized? We'll baptize you. And they took them to the river and held them under until they died. That's denominationalism. Are we going to maintain our separateness? Deacon Joe said, in our new identity in Christ, if we're going to be for real so the world knows we're different, it can't be a white thing, a black thing, or an Italian thing. Listen, in our new identity in Christ, if we're going to be for real so that the world knows we're different, it can't be a Pentecostal thing, or a Baptist thing, or a Catholic thing, or a Methodist thing. This wasn't hard to prepare. I just went back to Kevin's message and changed racism to denominationalism. Figure everybody liked him, so how can they get mad at me? Kevin said, do you know how insidiously insulting it is to ask a Caucasian to speak for all other Caucasians? Many times we tend to see a black man and immediately talk about them as if there's a singular black culture. Let me rephrase. Do you know how insidiously insulting it is to ask a Pentecostal to speak for all Pentecostals? We tend to see a Methodist man and immediately talk as if there's a singular Methodist culture. Now listen, again, I'm not so much insulted, but I think it's uneducated and confusing because there are many different differences even within our denominations and theological persuasions. That's why my uncle, who was a denominational leader, he did not want one Assembly of God church in every town. He wanted two Assemblies of God churches in every town because he said, sooner or later, somebody's going to get mad at you and they might as well have another Assembly of God church to go to. We can't even get along inside the churches. Deacon Joe was answering the question how he could worship with whites because we believe in the same Lord. Is that not true of us regardless of where we are on Sunday morning? Kevin said, we believe at the core of who we are that this is part of the good news of Jesus. We believe that the main wound in our culture is not really economic, but relational. Apply that to our denominational differences. He said the Church of Jesus Christ is to be a picture of that relationship healing to the world. Racism can stop that. But so can denominationalism that separates us and causes us to see us as superior to one another because of certain beliefs or practices. I confess I was raised that way. And I pray that in the last few years God's been delivering me from that. Kevin said, we believe that it is because the church has looked at this truth and said, it's too hard. We can't do it. We'll stay a club, a white club, a black club, a Nazarene club, a Baptist club, while the world goes to hell in a handbasket. Kevin said, if Jesus really is the Lord Jesus Christ, and if the Word is really true, then we've got to deal with different cultures coming together that don't know anything about this new man thing. Different histories, different music, and deep, deep wounds, and many, many fears. We're believing that the good news of Jesus trumps all of it. And then he asked, at what point do we repent? How many of you are on Facebook? Several of you are on Facebook. That scares your grandkids to death. So for those of you who aren't aware, on Facebook you can put in certain information about yourself according to certain categories. One of the categories is, I think it's relationship status or something like that. And you can put on there single, divorced, married. And you know, if you're just kind of in a relationship and it's not married or engaged, you can put engaged in there too. But some people just put in a relationship. Okay? They're not single, they're not married. In a relationship. And there's other things you can put on there, work, experience, jazz like that. And then there's a place where you can put religious views. And some people put follower of Christ, some people put Assemblies of God, some people put Presbyterian, some people put the name of their church, some people put scripture verses and so forth. You know what my son put for his religious views? In a relationship. He's a good boy. In a relationship. Let me ask you today. Are you Catholic, or Baptist, or Pentecostal, or Presbyterian? Or are you in a relationship? That's living in the Spirit. We can't do it if we're not living in unity. Father, we ask for your help because we sure do need it. In Jesus' name, amen.